It is Thursday, September 3rd. I'm Sam Cedar.
And I'm Lucy Steiner. Which one of these stories will you be talking about today?
The Donald Trump administration announces new sanctions on The Hague. It all seems a little bit backwards. Meanwhile, Joe and Jill Biden visit Kenosha, Wisconsin today. The campaign set a one-month presidential fundraising record in August. And lastly, doctors say new guidelines for coronavirus treatment represent a sign of hope in the fight against the virus. The World Health Organization now says chronically and severely ill COVID patients should be treated with steroids.
You're listening to Majority.fm's AM Quickie, and these are the stories you need to know.
In a shocking and damning move, the United States has imposed sanctions on senior officials of the International Criminal Court at The Hague. The ICC prosecutes war criminals around the world. The U.S. sanctions include the ICC's chief prosecutor, Fatou Bensouda. Bensouda was once justice minister of her home country, The Gambia. Her experience in international justice includes advising a United Nations tribunal that prosecuted key figures in the 1994 genocide in Rwanda. The new sanctions allow the U.S. to block assets of those targeted as well as bar them from entry into the U.S. So why is the U.S. sanctioning The Hague prosecutors now? Well, it's simple. The ICC has been investigating American war crimes in Afghanistan. Announcing the sanctions, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo called those ICC investigations, quote, illegitimate attempts to subject Americans to its jurisdiction, end quote. The U.S. is one of a dozen countries, including China, India, and Russia, that have refused to recognize the ICC's authority, this according to the BBC News. The court was created by a UN treaty in 2002. Balkis Jara, a senior counsel on international justice with the Human Rights Watch, said the sanctions mark a shameful new low for U.S. commitments to justice for victims of the worst crimes. They are, Jara added, a stunning perversion of U.S. sanctions that were devised to penalize rights abusers and kleptocrats. Instead, they'll be used to harass those seeking justice for victims of war crimes. Folks, just ask yourselves, is this how a country operates when it has nothing to answer for? Nothing to hide? Joe Biden and his wife Jill are visiting Kenosha, Wisconsin today. Biden said that there were overwhelming requests for him to visit in the wake of the shooting of Jacob Blake and the subsequent killing of two protesters by a 17-year-old armed with an assault rifle. In advance of the visit, Biden said he hopes to be a positive influence toward healing. He certainly couldn't do worse than Donald Trump's loathsome inflammatory performance there on Tuesday. There was no indication that Biden's vice presidential pick, Kamala Harris, would join him and his wife in Kenosha. However, the Washington Post reported that Biden has deployed Harris elsewhere as an ambassador to black activists. For instance, Harris joined a conference call with 100 black male leaders, including the civil rights lawyer Benjamin Crump, who is representing the Blake family. The Post said Crump and Harris addressed the Blake shooting and police violence against black men in general, but offered no details. Also on the campaign trail, the Commission on Presidential Debates announced the lineup for three debates between Biden and Trump. The first debate will take place on September 29th and be moderated by Fox News Sunday anchor Chris Wallace. The second debate will be moderated by C-SPAN political editor Steve Scully and will take place on October 15th. The third and final debate will take place on October 22nd and be moderated by Kristen Welker, White House correspondent for NBC News and co-anchor of the Weekend Today Show. There will also be a single vice presidential debate to be moderated by Susan Page, the Washington bureau chief of USA Today. That's scheduled for October 7th. Finally, Biden reportedly broke a campaign fundraising record, raising $364.5 million in August alone. More than $205 million came through online donations. The previously set monthly record in a presidential race set by Barack Obama in September 2008. When he raised more than $202 million.
Majority.fm's AM Quickie is fueled by JustCoffee.coop. Just Coffee is a worker-owned coffee roaster based in Madison, Wisconsin that has sponsored the Majority Report for nearly a decade. Check out their collection of fair trade roasts, including our own Majority Report blend. And regardless of what you order, receive 10% off your order when you use the code MAJORITY at checkout. And all shipping is free. That's coupon code MAJORITY at JustCoffee.coop.
The World Health Organization released a new treatment guidance yesterday for the coronavirus. The updated guidance is based on new research also published yesterday in the Journal of the American Medical Association. The research consisted of 5 separate articles, including 3 studies, an editorial, and an analysis of 7 randomized clinical trials. From all that, the evidence was clear. Doctors should use steroids to treat patients who are severely or critically ill with COVID-19. The only other drug shown to be effective in seriously ill patients is remdesivir. This according to the New York Times, summarizing the research. Per the Times, steroids can have harmful side effects, especially in elderly patients who make up the majority of very ill coronavirus patients. The drugs may leave patients vulnerable to other infections, may raise blood glucose levels, and may cause confusion and delirium. The new research doesn't answer every question. Only the sickest patients were treated with the steroids in the clinical trials that were studied. The optimal dosages and duration of treatment remain uncertain. But the good news is that these drugs are cheap and widely available, and they reduce deaths in critically ill patients by 20%. What this means, if your loved ones are diagnosed as severely or critically ill with coronavirus, they should be getting treated with corticosteroids. And if they aren't, the doctors should have a good reason why not. And if they aren't, the doctors should have a good reason why not, based upon the individual circumstances of the patient. If they're sick enough for these drugs, they may already be on mechanical ventilation. But if they are in a gray area, receiving perhaps only a few liters of oxygen, doctors may conclude steroids are too risky. All ins and outs aside, this is a rare bit of good news for the fight against the dreaded corona.
And now for some quicker quickies.
Quicker quickie.
Indigenous people in the remote Andaman and Nicobar Islands are reportedly now threatened by the coronavirus. Most cases are asymptomatic, but experts quoted by NBC News fear that uncontacted people on nearby islands could be next. The population of the Great Andamanese tribe, for instance, is just over 50 people. 10 of them are now hospitalized with coronavirus, this according to NBC News. Luckily, for now, all are asymptomatic, but there are concerns for tribal elders on the most remote islands. A Homeland Security Department official who resigned in April told NPR News that the Trump administration is fanning the flames of violence and right-wing extremism. This won't be news to most listeners of this program, but it's something else to hear from a person like Elizabeth Newman, former Assistant Secretary of Counterterrorism and Threat Prevention at DHS. Newman also said, unequivocally, quote, "The threat of domestic terrorism is not from Antifa," end quote. Paraphrase Trump, put that in your soup and throw it. Survivors of the Tulsa Race Massacre of 1921 filed a lawsuit on Tuesday demanding reparations from the city government. The lead plaintiff is Lessie Benningfield's mother, Randall, who is 105 years old. The lawsuit says the local law enforcement deputized white Tulsans to murder, loot, and burn a black district of the city. It also names the local chamber of commerce, which backed a form of indentured servitude for some black internees after the massacre. Per the Washington Post, no one was ever arrested for the violence. Staff at the Voice of America are in open revolt over the conduct of their boss, Michael Pack. Pack was appointed to head up the U.S. Agency for Global Media and confirmed by the Senate in June. He commenced to purge employees on a political basis, adding unfounded and xenophobic claims of espionage. Solidarity to all journalists fighting for their independence and for the free speech of all.
Quicker, quickie.
That's all for the AM Quickie. Join us this afternoon on the Majority Report live at noon. Got a replay of a Michael Brooks interview, and then Jamie, old Matt, new Matt, and Brendan will be holding down the fort.